What's up, folks? Unless you've been living under a rock, then you probably heard me talk about one of my favorite sponsors, Onnit. Onnit is a based health and wellness company that focuses on inspiring peak performance through a combination of unique products and actionable information. The strategies they have come from professionals, from athletes, and from medical practitioners. Onnit has focused on creating earth-grown, nutrient-based supplements and foods, as well as unconventional fitness equipment, all based upon the latest in science and research. If you go to onnit.com/chael, onnit.com/chael, you can get 10% off all of their products right now. Some of the phenomenal products that I personally use, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain is a complete and balanced nootropic. It is designed to enhance focus, mental drive, and memory. In addition, it has also shown to increase vivid, even lucid dreams. Try Onnit Warrior Bar. This is 100% buffalo meat. It's delicious. It's got 14 grams of protein. It's based on a recipe that has fueled warriors for centuries. No MSG, no soy, no lactose, nitrate-free, and it's gluten-free. Also think about trying the MCT oils. Medium chain triglycerides. They're healthy fats. They're found naturally in coconut oil. Unlike other MCT oil, Onnit MCT oil is derived from 100% pure coconut oil, and it contains 30% lauric acid. These supplements are on the cutting edge of sports nutrition, and I want to share them with you. That's why I'm giving my audience a chance to get 10% off of these products by going to onnit.com/chael. It's simple. Just head over to Onnit, onnit.com/chael, and start strengthening your mind and body today.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. My goodness, has it really been a week? Has it been a week since we last spoke? That is too long. I've had a lot going on. So, let me take you guys to Saturday. Today is Wednesday. Let me take you to Saturday. Let me rewind you to Saturday. I'm sitting in a car. I've got my mom, wife, and my son with me. We go to a deli. We're doing a little picnic. We pull up into the shade. I go inside and get us lunch. I come out. We're eating lunch. And I get a phone call. So, I answer it. On the car speaker. What do the kids call that? A Bluetooth. So it's going through the speaker. It's a lawyer from Brazil threatening to sue me for defamation. Her client, Jose Aldo. So the first thing I think to myself is, what in the hell? When have I ever talked about Jose Aldo, 145-pounder? When have I talked about him? So I said, what did I say about Jose Aldo? Well, I had just done a show, Michael Landsberg's show out of Canada. Michael Landsberg has the biggest sports show in all of Canada. He's on a network called TSN, which is like our version here in America of ESPN. So Landsberg asked me about Aldo McGregor and do I think it'll happen and blah, blah, blah. And I answered the question. And somewhere in my answer, I said that Aldo pulling out was very fugazi, because he had two separate sets of x-rays. He had the x-rays that were sent from his doctor to the UFC's doctors, which showed a bruised rib, and he was cleared to fight. And he had a separate set of x-rays, which he personally released online, which very clearly showed a broken rib. Or I shouldn't say clear, from what appeared to be a broken rib. So I said this, there's two separate sets of x-rays. Well, they're saying that that's what was inflammatory, that he did not have two sets of x-rays, that the x-ray that he put online is the same x-ray he sent to the UFC, and where this story of two x-rays came out, or where a story of a bruised rib versus a broken rib came out, he doesn't know it's not true and that I'm perpetuating it. They said, we won't sue you if you stop talking about it. I said, well, hold on. I'll go a step further than that. Not only will I quit talking about it, if I said it and it's not true, I'll give him an apology. I don't want to go around saying the guy put out two x-rays if that's not true, but I'm a little confused here. I parroted this information. That's true. I heard it and I repeated it. So where did this story come from? I said, man, I heard this come out by the UFC. I heard this at a UFC press conference. And the attorney said, yeah, well, pay attention in the next few days. You won't hear the UFC saying it anymore. Because before we called to threaten you with a lawsuit, we called and threatened them with a lawsuit. I have to assume he's telling the truth. Okay? I have to assume that there aren't two sets of x-rays. Jose Aldo is threatening to sue me and claims that he threatened to sue the UFC. Now, that's a pretty big bluff. That's a big enough bluff that I think he's telling the truth. So the story is where did the story come from? I don't actually know. But I've been there in the media. I've been there where a story comes out that isn't true, and you get some newscaster that goes on, and he reports it like it's true because he read it online, and it's driven me crazy. And I thought that it was cheap. I thought it was amateur hour. And if I did it to Jose Aldo, then I owe him an apology. But I did ask, where did this story come from then? There's a phenomenon out there. This is going around all over the place. So why don't you come on the show and tell us? Why don't you come on the show and let's set this record straight? And they, well, you know, I don't speak English. And I'm not talking to Jose. I'm talking to his attorney here. And they say, well, you know, he doesn't speak English. I said, well, then you come on with him. You come on with him and let's just have this out. I don't want to go around being wrong, but I said, but it is very compelling. And if you've threatened to sue the UFC, this is a really big story. And I want it. It'll be good for you. It'll be great for me, but it will be good for you. If Jose Aldo wants to come on MMA's biggest podcast, this one, and tell this story, man, let's clear it up. And they said, well, we'll get back to you. Well, I followed up on it. This was Saturday. I followed up on it Sunday. I followed up on it again Monday. And I've got a show to do today. And I've got Donald Cerrone coming on. I got Front Row Brian later in the show. The whole we'll get back to you thing eventually runs out of time. So we're out of time. So I told him, hey, I'm going to go on and tell the story. I'm going to go on and I'll set the record straight. If he didn't have two x-rays, he didn't have it. The hell do I know? I'm just out repeating what I heard. If I owe him an apology, then I want to give him one. But why don't you guys come on? This is a really interesting story if you're telling me that it's all made up. They maintain that. They maintained it's made up, that he does not have two x-rays, that he has a broken rib, that he does not have a bruised rib. And there you go. I don't have closure to it because the only text messages that I have back, and I've got three of them, which are all, we will get back to you. One of them says, we'll let you know. And the third one says the same thing, which is, we will get back to you. So here we are, and nobody's back to me. Onward and upward. You know, if you guys haven't checked out the biggest fantasy MMA competition, opportunity, gaming site out there today, DraftKings.com, what are you waiting for? It's an exclusive fantasy sports partner of the UFC, and this weekend you can play to win the biggest prize for UFC's biggest card. It's easy. Just pick your fighters, pile up the points, then go pick up your cash. That's it. You score points for significant strikes, advances, takedowns, knockdowns, and more. Look, you already know all the fighters. You watch all the matches. You're listening to an MMA podcast right now. Put your knowledge to the test. And you could win your part of $1 billion. Billion with a B. It's all going to be awarded at DraftKings.com this year alone. Go to DraftKings.com. Use the promo code CHAEL, C-H-A-E-L, and play this weekend. First place takes home 20 grand. Finish in the top 10 and qualify to win the Reebok prize package. It includes two tickets to a UFC fight night, Dillashaw versus Barão 2 in Chicago this weekend. Your hotel, your airfare, tons of Reebok gear. Enter Chael right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. When I come back, the Cowboy, Donald Cerrone will be here.
Back together again, it's the Diesel and his buddy Charles Barkley. This week on the Big Podcast with Shaq.
Chuck, every day out in the public, people ask me, was the fall staged? Could you let America know that that was not staged?
First of all, when somebody falls like that, your first reaction is to make sure they're all right. Then you have to start laughing. Nobody's going to fall that hard for fake. I mean, TNT ain't paying you and me enough to fall that hard for fun.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
This is Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, we're back to Your Welcome. I'm joined by Cowboy Cerrone. Cowboy, what's going on?
Nada. Just walking through the Caesar's Palace as we speak.
That's a nice place out there. Now you're in Vegas. You said you had to go out there for a DirecTV shoot of some sort?
Yeah, just a DirecTV appearance here at Caesar's Palace today, in and out same day.
Now, what is that for? I would imagine that's to promote the pay-per-view, you versus Dos Anjos, is that right?
It's just to promote pay-per-view in general. So, just out here, basically it's all the bigwigs of DirecTV, all the Fox, and it's like a in-house. I have no idea, to be honest with you. I was just shaking hands and taking pictures, brother.
All right. Well, fair enough, man. You're in the news, though, nonetheless. You're in a bit of a Twitter war with the champ, with Dos Anjos.
you can say that, I suppose.
All right. Well, let me lay the groundwork for anybody that's been hiding out in the forest lately. Somebody asked you on Twitter, when are you fighting Dos Anjos? And you responded, whenever he can cycle off so he can pass the blood test. And then all hell broke loose from there.
Yeah. Who knows what I was thinking, but I was just, some of the bitch needs to just go ahead and sign the paper already. Let's go.
All right, but is there, you're not off the hook on this yet. Is this guy taking something? Does he need to cycle off?
Oh, I don't know, man. I have no idea. I'm just getting under his skin trying to amp him up, you know? So who knows? Some bitch is on a tear right now, but I'm not. I'm just talking shit to get him motivated.
Well, it sounds like it worked. He definitely was quick to respond. I don't know if he does his own Twitter or not. He was pretty clever on there. If he does, he's pretty good. But it felt like it was a manager controlling it to me.
It might be. I don't know. I run my own Twitter, so I know that. But who knows?
All right. So there is no date set yet, though.
Nah, hell no. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I just tell you, know, I don't understand. He says his knee hurts. He doesn't need surgery. He just needs to let it heal. I don't know what that means, but who knows?
Now,
how
does this work with the new drug testing? I was done and booted out on the old drug testing before this new stuff set in. But I mean, knowing that you're going to fight for the title, and knowing that that's, I would assume, a main event, but either way, it's a title fight. Are you guys being tested? You know, say right now, are you being tested?
No, I'm not being tested at all. Nor do I have any idea if they do that, which they should. I think they should do random off camp testing. I mean, just level the playing field across the board. So who knows? Who knows how that works or when that works or what goes, so no idea.
Okay, so you haven't been subject to it. I mean, by the time this is going to air in about 6 hours, it could literally change by then. I mean, that's what a random test is. Somebody could walk up to you at any point.
Yeah, I wish they would. I wish they'd walk up to the Cowboy Piston this, and I'd test super positive for fucking adrenaline and Budweiser.
did you happen to see, have you ever used an IV?
Of course.
Okay.
Everyone does.
Exactly. But did you see that they banned IVs?
Well, I don't understand how that's going to work. Like, how can they, it makes zero sense to me. I don't understand what they're accomplishing with that, because overloading with fluid is overloading with fluid, whether you take it orally or through an IV. So how can they test that? I don't get it. I mean, maybe there's something else in your IVs if you weren't just doing like saline solution, if you're doing like the LR with the electrolyte. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm not sure how they're going to monitor or regulate that.
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing. I don't know that they can. Now, there's a number of rules out there where things are banned, but there isn't ways to test for it. But
sure.
that doesn't make it banned. It doesn't make it banned nonetheless. But here's what's interesting about the IV. See, when I was fighting, we IV'd also. I mean, it was part of it. You never even considered not.
Yeah.
You did your way and you went up to the room. You got an IV. It was the same as having a post fight dinner. It was just part of it. So they've come.
And, did.
Yeah, they've
exactly.
come. They've come in to ban IVs. But Donald, here's what's interesting. So there's supposed to be a substance test, but IV is not a substance. It's a form of administration. The question,
right.
as I've been explained it, is that it matters what's pumping through those tubes of the IV, not how you get it. And so I'm a little confused
correct.
With what authority they could ban an administration of a substance as opposed to the substance. This was never explained to you guys then.
No, not at all. They're just saying IVs are banned. And I'm with you on that same boat. Like, if I drink water orally or I drink water through my veins, it should be the same fucking water, right? You know, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. So I have no idea how they're gonna do it.
Yeah, so I agree. So Jose Aldo came out, and he said, I don't care if it's banned or not. I'm going to do it anyway. If you want to come to my hotel
right.
room, I'll just be in a different hotel room. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because he also said that it was ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Then let me go a step further. Then they've even come out and there was major pushback by everybody. Doctors came out and said, hey, you can't do that. I mean, we recommend that guys rehydrate. You had fighters coming out going, wait a second, this isn't illegal. So the testing then said, well, since everybody appears to be caught off guard by this and resisting, let's suspend this ban until October. And so I'm kind of looking around going, well, laws don't work. If this is against the rule, you can't suspend the rule. If it's a rule, it's a rule.
You can't start it like the Reebok deal, right? You can't just say, well, let's just start it in July.
Yeah, you can't just kick it down
now,
the road.
Yeah.
All right, so I was just wondering. I was wondering your take on this. And then USADA's pretty tough, too, because they're masters of putting out misinformation, and they will tell you as much. They will say, look, we can't always put out what we're doing, because if we do, that's how people stay a step ahead of us. We have to,
right.
We have to keep our secrets to ourselves. So here's what I think it is. One of the things that the Tour de France guys that were always on the cutting edge.
Blood doping.
Right. There
blood
you go.
Doping.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems sure. that that's what they're trying to stop.
And I understand what. Yeah, well, they're trying to because that is a form of diluting your blood. You know what I mean? So you can't test for it. But sure, absolutely. I'm with you. I'm the blood doping thing is a serious concern. I mean, but I don't give a shit. If you want a blood dope, go right the fuck ahead. I'm gonna do it the old fashioned way and work hard. So,
yeah, I don't know anyone in MMA that has blood doped. You know, we all hear the things in the locker, and I'm sure it would be the next step, I suppose, but I don't know
sure.
anybody that does it. But I feel like that's what they're trying to cut off. That makes a little bit of sense. I just don't know if you can. Again, IV is
right.
not a substance. It's a form of administration. And God, I mean, if you're dehydrated and you get rushed to a hospital, that's the first thing they do is they stick an IV in your arm. So what happens then? If a dude's at the hospital and a doctor shoves an IV in his arm, does he now lose his license potentially?
Right. Yeah. No shit.
Right. Okay. I was actually hoping you could answer the question. So that you have
hell no, you're asking redneck dummy about this shit. I have no idea.
I just assume there was some kind of education. You know, you'll see a lot of guys in sport get grabbed. And when they get grabbed for whatever, a lot of times they'll go, well, I didn't know. And that defense doesn't work.
My nerves, and sometimes I get too fucked up drinking beer. And I'm like, yo, hit me with an IV so I can feel better. So I'm super fucked.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand, you know, because you will see guys that go, well, I didn't know that was illegal. And that defense doesn't work, but it doesn't make it any less true. Like, take DUI, for example. Nobody
right.
ever has been caught with a DUI and shows up and goes, well, I didn't know. I didn't know that you couldn't drink and drive.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the government lets us know. There's commercials about it. There's everybody knows you're not allowed to combine drinking with driving. On these substance tests, there's a lot of guys that don't know. And if you're saying you're going to pull something out of the hat like IVs being banned, who's to know? How long has this been banned? In what statute is
right.
this banned?
Yeah.
And what else do you guys have that you haven't told us that's against the rules. So my real, I was actually forming a question to you more than making a statement, which is when you're a guy like you, when you're the number one contender, when you're on this incredible win streak, getting ready to fight for a world title and going to headline a pay-per-view, is there some kind of an education process or are you stuck with reading things in the media like the rest of us?
Just like you guys are. I have no idea, man. So, I mean, I guess it's my job and my duty that if I'm taking a certain supplement to maybe research that and ask the proper authorities, is this okay? But I don't know.
Sure.
Other than that. Yeah.
No, and I think that's a fair answer, but it brings us back to our initial point that IV is not a substance or a supplement.
No.
It's a form of administration. And then you come into your fine print of in competition, out of when can you have an IV? Certainly,
yeah, when can you have an IV? Yeah, exactly. I mean, and how, I don't get how they can measure. So an IV is not okay, but I could just drink 20 gallons of Pedialyte. I mean, is there a limit on that too? Can I not overload my system with too much water? I mean, I don't understand where their fine line is going to be.
So, yeah.
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. You know, I thought. See, Aldo's got an interesting perspective too, because not only is he subject to this being champ, but he had the big run in. I'm sure you read about it. If you didn't, then I'll tell you. But USADA shows up in Brazil. They get on a plane. They fly out to Brazil. They go in to test him at his gym, and his coach calls some level of authority. Andre Pedernera calls some level of authority to see who this guy is, and.
Right.
The guy didn't have the right paperwork, and essentially he got deported. They threw out the sample, and they sent him back to America. Later, he tried to come out and say, well, I did have the right visa. But if you're in Aldo's perspective, the whole thing is a big circus for him, right? He's got this guy testing him, and then it doesn't count, and then it does count, and then it's thrown out. And so I think he was speaking from a place of anger, but I thought it was pretty ballsy that he dared them publicly and said, I'm going to do it anyway.
Hey, yeah, fuck it. I'm wearing my damn little Muay Thai patch that I wear all the time with a pair of shorts, so I'm going to get fined on the Reebok side for sure. I probably say that, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. How is that working out? Is the Reebok thing, is that working out for you? I know you have some mainstream sponsors. Is this a blow for you?
No, they're all sticking right with me, man. So they're happy to be, and I'm happy to be part of them. So it's all good. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I haven't had to be in the uniforms, but I do feel like when I was watching, you know, the show, it looks like we're taking a flashback to the 80s, and the corner's coming out in jumpsuits. You know, all they need is little koala hats. You know what I mean?
Sure.
some shell toes. We'll be ready to rock.
You know, McGregor. That was the debut fight. When he fought with Chad Mendes, that was kind of when the Reebok thing rolled out. I don't know if you watched that weigh-in, but McGregor did not wear Reebok. And,
oh, no, I didn't see the weigh-in. I didn't see the weigh-ins.
Okay, so he didn't wear Reebok. He wore some other shirt, and behind the scenes, here's what happened. They gave him his Reebok kit, and he refused to wear it. And they said, hey, you have to wear this. And McGregor said, I'm different. I'm not like everybody else. And that was his statement. He said, I'm not wearing it. And so they get out the contract and everything. They said, man, you have to do this. He said, I'm not doing it. And the weigh-in rolled around, and he did not wear it. And he's not only...
And what happened? He got a little fine, and that was that. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I'm assuming... I don't know if he got fined or not. After the fight, I'm just watching it on pay-per-view, but Dana gets in the ring and hands him the shirt. The champions have black Reebok shirts. Everybody else's is white. That's what sets them apart. So they had a shirt ready for each Mendes and McGregor. McGregor wins. Dana walks in, hands him the shirt, and says, you have to put this on. And McGregor did not respond. He just looked at him. This was all on the pay-per-view. He didn't respond at all. He took the shirt, and then when they did his post-fight, he did not put it on. It's very hard to not like Conor McGregor, isn't it? It's very hard.
I mean... I mean, but when you're making money like he is, then you can just take the fine. Like, yeah, whatever. I just made $4 million. Fucking fine me $50,000. Whatever you want to do, I don't care. When you're making $100,000 like Cowboy and you get fined $50,000, that shit hurts.
No, yeah, you're right. There is a difference there. Now, McGregor talks about moving up to 155. Would you be happy to meet him?
Tell him, come on with it. Oh, fuck, come on, Joe, you know that. Bring that shit on.
You're right, I did know the answer.
The only problem is he's not going to be able to do that shit-talking stuff with me because Aldo's walking a fucking thin line with me right now. When I seen him in at the expo, I went up to him like, yo, we were joking around, like, let's fucking get this date going. As soon as I leave the expo, he tweets at me saying, Cowboy, when I see you again, you're going to go 0-2 to me. So he starts the fire. So it's like, when we were together, bitch, you weren't saying to them, all of a sudden I turn my back, you want to tweet to me crazy? So next time I see Dos Anjos, I might fucking punch him in the mouth. Just for, you have to see me, bitch, you know what I'm saying? So McGregor wants to talk the shit, that it doesn't fly with Cowboy. Like that's how I was raised. So you can't just hide behind Twitter and hide behind the UFC. Oh, you can't hit me until we fight. Nah, you gotta stand up for what you're talking about. So, you know, hopefully we don't cross paths. I just have a mentality like that.
All right, now hold on. I got lost there. You said Dos Anjos, we were talking about Connor, and then you slipped Aldo's name in there. Who came up to you at the...
I went to Dos Anjos.
All right.
I went to Dos Anjos at the expo. I said, hey, man, friendly. We were laughing, and I said, let's get this shit going. Let's sign a date. And he's like, yeah. You know, we were just back. It was cordial. You know, we were fine. As soon as I leave, maybe an hour later, he puts on Twitter, he's going to beat my ass, and next time I see him, I'm going to go 0-2. I was like, oh, this motherfucker wants to get... Couldn't, you know, and then as I started to... I started the Twitter shit. It kind of fired me up, which I made the stupid comment about, you know, get your blood cleaned up before we figure this out. And, so he's walking the line. He hasn't crossed the line, pissed me off just yet, but he's walking the line for sure.
It sounds like he's getting there. All right, so I'm clear on this. This was had nothing to do with Conor. We're off of Conor McGregor. We're on.
No. Conor's just good at fucking talking shit is what I'm saying. That's what I was getting around to and around the way. So if I were to fight Conor, and he gets on there and does, you know, gets on public TV and talks shit and blah, blah, blah. That wouldn't fly with me. The first opportunity I've seen him, I'd check him.
All right, so let's stay on Dos Anjos. I mean, Dos Anjos does look drastically different. Not only are his results different than what they... I mean, if you told somebody 2 years ago that Dos Anjos was going to be the UFC champion, you know, he's going to beat Anthony Pettis like Pettis has never been beat. Nobody's going to believe you. So... Let's say he is on something. I mean, what does a guy in the division do? We dealt with this.
Let's say he's not. Let's say he's working hard. He's hard at work. He's doing everything he's got to do. Cool. Cowboy just took a fucking cheap shot at him. That's what I did. So, I don't know. That's that.
All right. But how would you deal? Here's what happened when I was still in the division. We had a guy, Vitor Belfort. We all knew that this guy was creating a lab. He's walking to the ring, flipping everybody, flipping the commission off. I mean, he's daring everyone, but the only way to stop him, since the tests weren't, was as fighters, we would have had to band together and just refuse to fight him. We would have had to unionize it as a division and say, we're not going to do it. And I asked some of the other guys, so what do you do about that? You know what's going on there, but they're not catching him.
And that's a good... You could just look at Vitor and do it and see the eye test on him. Like, well, that's how he used to be. Now he's fucking 50 and still an animal. Like, obviously something, you know, I mean, I don't know. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, no, it was.
But if someone tries, I won't refuse to fight him. I don't care. He can, they tell me, Cowboy, you're fighting. I say, great, let's go.
Okay.
Juice or not, I don't give a shit.
All right, well, that was my question. I was going to say, you know, how do you handle something? We didn't know how to handle it. And I remember thinking, I remember watching Vitor and thinking, there's no way I'm going to fight him. I mean, look at this guy. If they call me to fight him, I'm not going to do it because... You know, I watched him knock out Dan Henderson, and I just remember thinking, I'm not. If they call me to fight Vitor, I'm going to get big and strong, and I'm going to refuse to do it. And the next call I got was to fight Vitor, and I said, all right, let's do it. So, but I remember both of those thoughts. I remember actually getting offered and going, all right, I'm in. And I remember seeing him on TV and going, man, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is a joke. This isn't even up for debate. And when you look at Dos Anjos, you look at a before and after picture of him. In fact, I saw you tweet one out today, and you're going, man, there's no comparison here. I've worked hard my whole life. So have you. Your body doesn't drastically change through hard work. It just doesn't.
And the older you get.
Right, and getting older. And that's not to say, I mean, he's definitely on something. I'm not saying he's on something illegal. I have my suspicions, but the tests say he's not. So, if he's...
That's what he was tweeting to me, like, all my tests are clean. And then people respond to him, well, so are Lance Armstrong's, you know?
Right.
So I was like, yeah. But I'm with you, man. I can't sit here and point the finger, though, because they are coming back clean. I have suspicions as well, but that's as far as I can go with that.
Yeah. No, it's true. And the bottom line is, yeah, he is on something, but is it illegal? If he found something and it works, God bless him, and it's not illegal, then, you know, he doesn't have to come out and tell us what it is. He doesn't.
Sure.
But,
sure.
But yeah, I mean, your before and after picture, I thought it kind of summed everything up. Yeah, I've always been a fan of the eye test. You know, everybody, I've always told people, there's two tests we have here. You've got the pee test, that's true, but, you know, or the blood test, or but first test is the eye test. When a guy takes his shirt off and gets on the scale, I can point at a guy and go, boom, you 6 months suspended, you 9 months, you're a year. and I'll never be wrong. Never. There may be a guy that slips through, but I'll never falsely accuse somebody. You know, a guy may dupe me, but I'll be 100%.
Right.
Anyway, that's my take. So McGregor is doing The Ultimate Fighter out there in Vegas with Uriah right now, but they're not going to fight.
How's that work? I was going to ask about that too. Like, how are they coaching against each other, but they're not fighting each other?
I'm not sure. I don't fully understand that either. They were going to do that on The Ultimate Fighter Brazil 4, which is already aired. It was on Fight Pass, but it was going to be Shogun and Anderson coaching against each other, but set ahead of time they won't fight.
Why did they put in Uriah and not Aldo?
Well, see, that's interesting too. I mean, I watched the show, so my suspicion as a viewer is because how do you make TV out of a guy that doesn't speak English?
Yeah.
So that's my suspicion. I suspect that's why you don't do it. And then, business wise, I don't know if Aldo matters. I don't know how much he matters. We just saw last time they spent a fortune promoting Aldo, pulled him out at the last second, set Mendez in, and broke records. So I'm not sure how much he meant. I like the new Aldo. I like the angry, pissed off Aldo that's now coming out of his shell and saying he's going to hide in different hotel rooms and screw everybody.
Right.
I mean, I find him fascinating. I don't know. So, Donald, let me tell you a story. Since we're talking about Aldo, I'll tell you a story. I'm going to rewind to Saturday. Okay. It's 100 degrees out here in Oregon. I've got my mother with me. I've got my wife. I have my newborn son. Yeah, that's right. We go for a little family picnic, if you will. We go to a deli. We park in the shade. I go inside. I get some sandwiches. I come out. We're all eating our food, and my phone rings. So I answer the phone. It's a Brazilian lawyer, and they are threatening to sue me for defamation of character. Their client is Jose Aldo, and I'm sitting there. I've got him on speaker. I've got the Bluetooth going because we're all having lunch, and I'm trying to rack my brain, going, when have I ever talked about Joe? I'm sure his name's come up somewhere, but when have I ever talked about Jose Aldo? So I finally say, what did I say about Jose Aldo? Well, I had just done a show in Canada, a guy called named Michael Landsberg, and it's a huge show for Canada, and he had asked me about Aldo, about the McGregor fight falling through, and do I think it will happen, and blah, blah, blah. But he brought up Aldo, and I said, you know, I don't know. I said, this whole story is very fugazi. He's coming out with an x-ray that his doctor sent to the UFC doctors. He then put a different x-ray online. They're not the same x-ray, and that's the defamation. That's what he's talking about. He's saying that's not true.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, yeah, maybe it's not. I suppose I didn't investigate it. The UFC had put this out. I was kind of parroting what I had heard. I reasonably believed it. It was given on good authority. And I said that to him. I go, well, I'm reading this in the media by the UFC. I mean, these weren't my thoughts. I did say them, but I was parroting them. How are you saying it's not true? And he goes, the attorney says, yeah, well, pay attention in the coming days. The UFC's not going to be saying anymore either because we just called and told them we'd sue them.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, well, if you're bluffing and you're willing to take it to me and you've already gone to the UFC and told them you would sue them, I mean, maybe it is a bluff, but I tend to believe you. I think he's telling the truth. So what in the hell do you make of that now?
Right? All right, man. I don't know. I love the dude. I like him. And I fucking wish he would have came there and fought goddamn McGregor, but hey. I don't know. And that's a hell of a bluff.
Well, that's one hell of a bluff, but if he's telling the truth, how did this story ever come out? How did the story of him having two separate x-rays. I mean, I went around saying it. I thought it was right. And now he's got me second-guessing myself here. It's like, well, wait a second. How? Forget that I did that. Let me give you an apology if I was wrong, Aldo. But how did this even come about? How did this? Sure. You must have heard it. Did you hear that he had the x-ray?
No, I just seen the one x-ray that they put out. You know, and I that's all I seen. I didn't know there was two.
Well, maybe there's not. Apparently, there's not. I suppose I shouldn't say maybe. I guess there's not. I guess there's just the one. But if he would have shown, I mean, he beats McGregor, doesn't he? His skills versus McGregor's skills. Isn't Aldo the superior fighter?
Oh, man. I was sitting there, you know, ringside thinking, God damn, Aldo kicks a son of a bitch harder than this boy. So, I don't know. I think I give it to Aldo, man. I do. And I've been saying that. But every time I say that, son of a bitch McGregor comes and proves me wrong again.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I hadn't bought into McGregor's skill sets either. I kind of thought his skill set was weird. I thought it was more of like this Jeet Kune Do, and I thought it was goofy.
Right.
But he is amazingly accurate, even on those spinning kicks, which you don't see a whole lot of those land. I mean, I don't think I've seen the son of a bitch miss. When he throws something, it hits a target.
And he had Chattel curled up right from the jump, man. It was bad. So.
Yeah, I played around. We were out at ESPN. They set an octagon up on campus. Connor came out as part of his promotion for that. And we played around a little bit. And as I analyze him, one of the things that I've always thought is, you know, for that weight class, he's not very fast. He's long and he's all these different things, but he's just not very quick, at least on TV. When we were playing around, I was shocked at how quick he was. He's way quicker than the TV shows, that's for sure.
Right.
That's just my take.
Well,
that's my two cents, since he might be crossing paths with you someday.
Yeah, he might be passing across, but who the fuck knows? I welcome that path. And hopefully he talks shit, and I slap the shit out of him, and they pump the pay-per-views up, and I make $4 million.
I hope you do. I'd love to see you get a $4 million check. That's money well spent right there. I'll contribute my $50 for pay-per-view.
No shit, right? I'll even buy it and record it at home.
Have you talked to our friend Bill lately?
I have, man. He tweets back and forth with me all the time, phone calls. So he says he's making it to the title fight, hell or high water. I said, come on, Bill. It's not fucking time. I ain't seen you in a year.
Yeah. So. No, he just had a major shoulder surgery. His shoulder's been driving him crazy for a while. And I asked him for an update, and he said, well, the good news is I'm on 3 Oxycontin as opposed to 5, so I'm headed in the right direction. He said, but this, you know, basically, in other words, this thing is driving me crazy. He's about ready to cut his shoulder off, it sounds like.
Oh, man, yeah. Poor guy.
So, Donald, what's up with you? Are you married? I know you got engaged, but...
Still engaged. It's called buying time. That's what that means.
Sure.
Buying time, brother.
Sure. No, good man. Good man. Do you have a date set?
Nah, hell no. We don't know what we're doing yet, man.
Now, you know this is being recorded, right? You know we are still recording as you give you...
Yeah, that's fine. She knows it. I tell her all the time. She knows.
All right. What's your buddy Leonard Garcia up to? I saw that he officially retired.
He's working in the oil fields. He's doing good. He called me, thought about making a comeback, and I was like, Leonard, the only reason you need to make a comeback is just for fun. If you want to come back and just throw down with somebody for fun... I'm with you, but if you actually want to come and do this, that's you know you've already turned the corner, brother. You know you've made the commitment to retire, and like I just don't think coming back's for you. I think if you want to come back and just throw down pure for fun, okay, I'm with you.
So, yeah, who the hell would want to come back? Why would he want to do that?
I have no idea.
You gave him good advice.
I thought it was pretty good advice. I said, Lynn, if you want to get in the ring with me and try and throw down, I'm down. You know, that used to be some of my funnest sparring because the son of a bitch don't back down, not never.
Yeah, I know. I love watching him fight. So you're out there in Albuquerque. Are you in the gym every day?
Always. Well, I mean, I've been traveling a lot these last couple months. But, yeah, I mean, when I'm not traveling, I'm in the gym every day.
So the report,
I do, get better.
The reports are that John Jones is back in the gym. Is this accurate?
I have not seen him, but we could be on off days. Never know.
And is Albuquerque home for him? Does he live out there? Or does he just come out there to practice?
He used to come out just practice, but he bought a new home out there, so I'm pretty sure he's living full time out in Albuquerque.
Okay, and he's still got to go through his court day. I mean, this has remained surprisingly quiet. There's no speculation or anything. You got any insight on that? Does he have a date? Is this thing almost almost behind him where he can get in there and get some closure to this?
I think so. I think something happened. I mean, I don't know if it was public or not, that something happened along the lines where it's getting dropped because missed paperwork. I don't know. Something along the lines where it might be getting dropped. So,
okay. Well, I saw that too.
That. I don't know. It's just hearsay.
I know what you're talking about. Hearsay is all right. Well, this isn't a news show. It's just two guys talking. But sure. I did see that. I know what you're talking about. I read that. He was supposed to do something, and they didn't have the paperwork in place, but they thought they could still get it. They just didn't have it in time or something goofy like that. I don't think the whole case was dismissed, just something that I can't really remember. Now that you just said what you said, it sparked something in my memory, but I don't really know where that stands either.
Yeah, I have, he texted me about 3 weeks ago and asked me how I was doing, everything's good, and I asked him how he was. He said he's great, he's been sober ever since the incident. So, you know, I was like, fucking good to hear, Johnny. Which, the part that the son of a bitch parties his ass off and still fucking people up is cooler to me than anything.
I know.
Think. If I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to fucking get drunk and you want to fucking do cocaine and you're still fucking beating ass and world champion, right on. Hats off to you, brother.
Right. No, the way I would have handled it is totally different than him. I don't think he should be taking my advice on PR, but I would have handled it differently too. You know, when they asked him, why did you do cocaine? If it were me, I would have said to get high, stupid.
Because I like the smell of it, motherfucker. That's why.
Yeah. And I'd have just laid out. I wouldn't have gone into the whole religious and I made a mistake and I did all. I just wanted to done it. I just think he could have left it. He could have left it where it was. It wasn't a rule violation, and it's not like you and I are condoning what he did. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, I'm 23 years old. I'm a world champion. I'm making millions of dollars. I'm fucking out in Vegas partying my ass off.
Right.
My bad.
Right.
I fucked up.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I was just on a show. I was doing Kenny Florin and John Attic have a podcast, and they were asking me if John comes back. About Daniel Cormier, if Daniel Cormier could beat him. I said, you know, Daniel's a stud. He's the intern. Well, no, he's the real champ. He's not the interim champ. I guess he is the champ. I forget that John is no longer the world champion. But
right.
I just said, guys, you have to understand, John Jones was drunk and high, and he still kicked Daniel's ass. No, I don't think Daniel's going to beat him. No, I don't think that. It's got nothing to do with how good Daniel is. Daniel's amazing. But no, he's not going to beat John Jones. And no, and neither's nobody else.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you on it.
So what's that like in training when John Jones is training? I mean, is that fun to watch? Is he in there doing all that?
No, he's like one of those guys, and I want to refer him to like a Clay Guida, where in training you're not that impressed, and then he gets out there and shows the fuck up. It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
That is a good problem to have. I like guys that overperform. It's an awesome skill, and some guys just have it.
Right.
All right. Cool. So, what are you yelling?
Sorry, I'm yelling at the guy. See if he can get a cab. But my driver from the USC is supposed to pick me up at 2:00, and he ain't here. I'm gonna miss my flight. If you don't get something, I'm gonna jump in the cab and figure that shit out later.
Yeah, he's five minutes late. You don't want to mess around with that airport out there.
Yeah. So.
All right. Cool. Well, I've had enough of you. You've been wonderful. Do you have anything else you want to add? Anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I'm good, man. Just fucking ready to get in there and give me that big old belt buckle.
And
I heard it equals money. That's what I heard.
That's a true statement right there. And they have no date set. They have. I mean, you don't have that.
No.
Wow.
Nothing. And I even cornered Dana and Lorenzo in at the McGregor fight. Like, yo, what's up? You gonna make this dude fight or what the fuck's going on? You know? And they're like, oh, maybe November, December. It was just a bunch of maybe. So I have nothing.
God, those poor guys.
Yes, as good as mine.
That's such a hard way to do business, like Dana Lorenzo, when you don't know if a guy's going to fight or not.
Right.
All right, give me a prediction for this weekend. Is Dillashaw and Barao?
I'm going with TJ and do it again.
There was a big gap in the last one, man. They weren't even close.
There was a big gap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and my boy Paul Felder going to beat the hell out of Barbosa, so I'm going with that one, too.
Nice. Is that the co-main?
No, I don't know where they're out on the card. No idea.
Tell me.
You can ask me UFC questions, Cheryl, because I don't fucking know, bro. I got so much life I'm living out here.
All right. Well, then tell me that. Give me some financial advice. How are the what is the Cowboys' latest purchase? Have you bought a bull lately?
I own my second bull. So yes, I do have two of those.
Now, do you ride those damn things, or you just put them in the field?
What's that?
Do you ride those things, or you just put them in the field?
No, they're for the PBR. I'm a stock cock tractor. I work with backseat buckers, which is like a program that you can buy, bulls and getting kind of be a stock hunter and watch them buck and do.
It's supposed to be here, yeah, at 2:00. Cerrone.
So
he dropped me off here. Though, he's supposed to pick me up right here.
So back to what I was saying, bull owner.
All right. Is that a good investment? I mean, can you do something with a bull? I don't know much about the bull business.
Hell no. I mean,
see, I wouldn't think so. That was kind of what I suspected.
Nothing I do is a fucking investment or a good money. So what people need to do is follow Cowboy's career and do the total opposite of what he does.
That's, all right.
That would be my business advice.
Well, I saw you had done an interview where you said, I keep taking these fights because I got to pay the tax, man. I didn't know if you were kidding or telling the truth.
No, well, I mean, so there's a lot of people I say I'm broke. I'm not actually fucking broke. I got money in my bank, but I own everything, Chael. It's not like I got a boat payment or I got a truck payment or I got my RV. Like, when I get money, I'm just like a fucking degenerate, and I say, oh, I want that RV. Okay, $250,000. Well, there went all my money. You know what I mean? But I own it. So my fallout plan, you know, I could sell my shit if I had to, but I own my house. And, yeah, I fucked up and didn't pay my taxes for years. Like, since ever. And they finally came at me, and I'm all caught up now. You know, it cost me, I think I wrote a check for $350,000 to the IRS last year. So, yeah, that took a big hit, right?
Yeah, that hurts, man. That's a good problem to have, that you owe $350,000, yeah. But yeah, that hurts. Now, what you said they came out to you, what, you got audited or some guy knocked at the door? How does that work?
Oh, no. So I went to get gas at the gas station. They declined my credit card, and I was like, that's impossible. No way. You know, I just fought. I had, you know, a ton of grand in there. And, no, went and checked my online bank, checked my thing, zeros. Credit, my debit card, zero, savings, zeroed, and I maxed my credit card out.
Oh, they seized it. They came in and seized it.
Seized it.
Ugh.
Talk about being super fucked. I was like, yeah. Oh, my, like, sick.
Yeah.
Sick if I've ever been sick. Oh, God. Oh, God. So, yeah, that was brutal.
But and that still didn't bring you to square.
Maybe I should go talk to my tax guy, and then we got on a pay plan and got it all sorted out. So,
well, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, people are listening. Make sure you pay your motherfucking taxes because they ain't playing around.
Yeah, no, that's good advice right there. That's good. You know, that same thing happened to James Toney, or close to the same thing happened to James Toney. He fought Randy Couture out in Boston years ago. He got a guarantee of $500,000, and they had some judgment where when he went to get his money or when he was standing in the back waiting for them to bring it, there was none. The UFC had just had to make it right out to the IRS, and he left there without a penny.
Man, it's a son of a bitch. They do not play around, man. They do not play. And the thing is when I didn't pay my taxes back in the day, like now I got write-offs and everything, you know, do it the correct way through my CPA and all that, right? Well, when they, like, tell you you owe this amount of money, you have no proof of anything you spent from 2006, 2007, because I didn't. So I couldn't rebuttal and be like, well, no, that's what you owe. And then the penalties and interest, oh, my God. Brutal.
Yeah, that's fun. Wow. That's fun. Well, I'm glad you got that squared up, and I'm glad you didn't have to sell the RV or boat or one of those bulls.
No, I'd be crying right now if I had to sell the RV and boat. I'd be in shambles. So,
oh, good stuff, buddy. Yeah. Hey, man, I appreciate you very much, Donald. Thanks for taking the time, pal.
No worries, bro.
Hey, have a safe flight home.
Yes, sir. Talk soon.
All right, see you, brother. Oh, and Donald, you know what? Before you go, I'll give you some advice, and I'll give it to everybody. Do you guys like to read magazines? Yeah, of course you do. But these days, who really has time to read magazines? No, I don't have it either. I'll admit I don't. But we can solve that problem by an amazing online service. It's called nextissue.com, and it works, well, it's basically like Netflix. I consider it Netflix for magazines. Nextissue.com gives you unlimited online access to all of the best magazine subscriptions. I'm talking Men's Health, Rolling Stones, Muscle Fitness, People, Consumer Reports, Food and Wine, so much more. Subscribers get full access anytime, anywhere. Plus, they have exclusive behind-the-scenes videos along with interviews and features. They're all at your fingertips. All the big names. Us Weekly, GQ, Vogue, Newsweek, you name it, they've got it. I don't care if it's sports, entertainment, health, food, politics. There's something for everybody. Plus, it's an incredible value. And you can share your subscription on five different devices, both tablets and phones. And now, because you are friends of this show, you're welcome. NextIssue.com is giving all of you listeners a 30-day free trial. Simply go to NextIssue.com/CS. That's my initials, CS. You can take advantage of that free 30-day trial period right now. Go over to NextIssue.com/CS, as in Chael Sonnen. Stick around, everybody. More You're Welcome coming up.
Yo, it's your boy KFC, and this is Mail Time. We call it the laziest hour of your day to help you get through your 9-to-5 job, but in reality, it's just unfiltered access to the mind of two idiots and the stupid things coming out of their mouths. Whether you're sitting at your desk, commuting in the morning, at the gym, whenever you listen to two idiots rambling, you'll always feel better about yourself. It's Mail Time. New episodes are available every Wednesday for download on the Podcast One Network.
Now, back to Your Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Here's Chael Sonnen.
All right, we're back with Front Row Brian, FRB. What's happening, buddy?
Chael Sonnen, you've kept me off this show for God only knows how long. The number one rated show I did a couple months ago.
Sing
it. I got
the
numbers from you. I beat Daniel Cormier, Ariel Helwani, Paul Heyman, Jim Cornette, and you wait 3 months to have me back on the show?
You know what? That's all true. You're not just blowing smoke there. You actually do have the highest rated show on Your Welcome. You're right. Turns out you've got a following.
It turns out that way. But, you know, the gimmick, Chael Sonnen, and cold beer are the only friends that I have left.
Yes, and lonely women. Add that to the list.
And that old worn-out Chris Ledoux tape.
God bless him. Rest his soul.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brian, I got a threat of getting sued.
I heard about this.
You heard it from me. I told you over the weekend, but I just told the story. I just told the story on the show. And I called my manager and asked him if he wanted to come on. I said, hey, you want to come on? You're welcome. Let's have this conversation. The same conversation we had off the record. Let's just record it. I said, I think it's pretty interesting that Aldo threatened to sue me because it makes him believable. It made me believe him. I believe him. I believe he is telling the truth and that there was only one x-ray. It's too big of a bluff not to. And I'm not the guy you bluff because I have a voice. You go bluff some ham and egger out from the sticks. You don't really bluff old Chael. I believe him. He won me over. If this is poker, I'm out.
Oh, come on, Chael. That's so weak. You get threatened with a little lawsuit by some Brazilian lawyer. Let me tell you, being a Brazilian lawyer, that's like getting a plumber's license in the United States. What are they going to do to you? What was he going to do to you? And you back down?
Well, come on, man. Well, hold on a second.
A gangster?
Hold on. He could shove his lawsuit up his ass. That's not what this is about. What I'm saying is one of us is right and one of us is wrong on the merit. If the merit is that he did not put out two x-rays, that's a false report, and I was perpetuating a false report, then he's right. I don't want to put out a false report. If there was only one x-ray, then I want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. What I'm saying is where I believe him is that it's a heck of, I don't know the truth, only he does, and he's won me over to his side, but I'm kind of scratching my head going, well, how exactly did this come out in the first place? You know what I'm saying? Help me out here. Finish my thought for me.
Well, I mean, if that was true, I mean, if what the lawyer is claiming is true, they would have already sued Dana. They would have already done it, you know? I mean, they got piles of money. They got two billionaire casino brothers. Those are the guys you want to sue.
You're saying if you're all the... Yeah, I guess. I mean, the way it would work is you would call somebody first before you sued them, and you would say, hey, you need to stop this. I'm not sure that this is all that great of a story to begin with. I mean, it's turned into a story. I'm making it one right now. I'm not sure it is. I'm not sure where that would set him off either way. But apparently in Brazil or whatever the media did over there, which I guess is different than we felt here, this turned into quite a story.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, we don't know what happened. You know, I really think, you know, he was legitimately injured. And he just couldn't make the weight and said, I can't fight.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I've had rib injuries. I've never had a broken one. I mean, what he had was exponentially worse than I had. And I can tell you firsthand, man, it immobilizes you. When you breathe, it uses your rib cage and everything else. I was thinking that, too. If he's got a rib injury and he's immobilized, it's not a matter of him being tough enough to walk out there, see what happens, and collect his paycheck. It's a matter that he can't move to cut the weight. But he never said that. He never said, man, I can't make weight. Not that he owes it to us to tell us that. I just thought he should have just said that. I don't think I can do it because I don't think I can get on a treadmill right now.
Yeah, we're not dealing with a very smart guy. I mean, this guy's been a champion for how many years, and how many dollars has he drawn? You know, he needed this Irishman to come make him relevant, just like you made Anderson Silva relevant about 5 years ago, you know, in August, right?
Sure.
He needed a guy to make him interesting, and they sent Connor, and he didn't show up.
That's the bottom line, and I suspect that he regrets that. I don't know, but I've never seen him more angry. I'm into the whole Jose Aldo gimmick now. I'm into this angry guy that's coming around and mad at everybody, and to hell with USADA, and sue you, and sue this guy, and all of that. I'm into it. I don't know where it's been. I feel like he's a day late and a dollar short. Like, hey, man, you had a paper. Why didn't you do this before the pay-per-view? Coming out on your marketing tour post-event doesn't make much sense, but I'm reading it. I'm enjoying his stuff more now than I ever have before.
Yeah, but he always says it from a distance. He's a very cowardly guy. He'll openly go in the Brazilian media and tell you how much money he should make and how he's not making enough money. And then when Dana White is standing 8 feet away from him, he smiles and says he's happy with his pay. If you're upset with your pay, guy, go say something. You know, closed mouths don't get fed.
I have found that's a really good point. I thought that same thing about him. You know, he can't do an interview where he doesn't bitch about the pay. And then here he is facing not only his biggest payday ever, but the biggest payday ever in UFC history. And he didn't make the walk. I mean, that's just what he can be as mad as he wants. That's what happened.
Yeah. And what's interesting is he hasn't really told anybody when he wants to come back. You know, now they're talking about December 6th and Dallas, and I don't really buy that because what MGM wants, they get. They run that town. They're not going to let a world title fight of that magnitude go down to Jerry Jones' stadium.
Sure. Yeah, and I don't happen to think that Dallas is as good of an idea as everybody else likes to say it is. I mean, there has been a little bit of a boxing history there, and they've done quite well. I can think of a Manny Pacquiao fight, but boxing's a little bit different. It's not a destination. I'm not getting on an airplane and going to Dallas to watch a fight. I'm just not doing it. I'll go to Vegas, but I'm not going to Dallas.
You know, Joe, what sold that fight, the first fight at Dallas Stadium was Pacquiao versus Joshua Clotty. It was an awful fight, but it drew because of the novelty of the first boxing match at Jerry's World, or whatever they call it. Now, the second match, they were very close in attendance, both around 40 to 43,000. The second match had Antonio Margarito, who was denied a license for loading his glove up against Shane Mosley. He's a Mexican guy. You know, a lot of Mexicans in Houston and Dallas. So that sold that. Now you bring an Irishman and a Brazilian who refuses to speak English to Dallas. You know what base? What the MMA fan base is not big enough to fill a stadium. WWE, they can fill that stadium and they will next March, but they have people come from 50 different countries to that event.
Sure. Yeah, you're right. And WrestleMania is once a year.
Right.
And it is a spectacle. It's totally different. You're right. But, you know, to even count on Ireland jumping on planes and to come support Connor, you know, there's a little more to that. Supporting Connor is a pretty fun thing to do when it's in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I got a bunch of tweets, man, and all of them, you know, all Irish fans were saying it's just a lot easier for us to get to Vegas. You know, they're like, Dallas, that would be kind of out of the way. Like, we don't even want to go to Dallas.
Right. No, I agree. You know, and if you're going to go there, what are you going to do with your pricing structure? What are you going to do? You're going to try to sell tickets for what you can sell them for in Vegas? No, it's not going to work that way. It's simple supply and demand. I mean, you're going to have to pay for the house, and you're going to have $25 tickets for the guys that are... I don't get it. I don't see it as the same way that everybody else does.
And the other thing, Chill, you know, I mean, I didn't know much about it. I've never run an event. I know that you have up in Oregon. But, you know, when you go from a 15,000-seat venue or 20,000-seat venue that UFC typically does, and then you go to a stadium, there are so many different aspects that you have to bring in. You have to bring in new video boards, new sound rigs, lighting rigs. Like, this is stuff that the UFC has to supply. You don't show up, you know, because I saw a video blog of Dana, UFC 129, going over the differences. Like, it took something like 30 trucks to get all the equipment there. For regular UFC, it takes 8. You know, there's so many more costs. So if you're going to go to that stadium, you better be really confident that you can sell 60,000 tickets at a very high price point, which is very difficult to do anywhere other than Vegas, because Vegas, you have the casino subsidy. MGM buys tickets directly from the UFC and then passes them on to their high rollers. That's why you got 12. You know, when you fought Anderson the second time, the face value was $1,250. You put that fight in Dallas, I don't know, they might have been able to get 600, 700.
You're spot on. And, you know, people miss this all the time. They talk about Dallas, and you got to go there, and you got to do Dallas. They do the same thing with the MGM Grand, or I apologize, with Madison Square Garden. And the Garden's got all this history, and it's this amazing thing, and there's this huge pop. I get all of those things, but the Garden versus driving 6 miles under the bridge and going to Governor Christie's state, there's no difference, man. Quit talking about the Garden. You got all these people saying we got to play the Garden. Ask them one simple question. Are you going to go? Well, no, I'm not going to go, but there'll be all sorts of New Yorkers to go. Okay, you're not going to go. What if it was in Vegas? Would you go? Yeah, I'd be more likely to go. Okay, well, that's where it does play right now. So quit telling everybody how great the goddamn Garden is, and quit telling us how great Dallas Stadium is. It's a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Sit down in your living room and push the button. What's the difference to you?
I don't get the obsession with the Garden either. I think it might be this thing, you know, so many great boxing matches have happened there, and UFC has, or MMA has this inferiority complex that they need to be at boxing's level. You know, they need to be at these hollow halls. And, you know, we went over there. Remember, we went over there before you fought John Jones. We went over for media day, and we went to the Garden. And I thought it was a pain in the ass, to be honest with you. It was a pain to go. There's no parking, and you were a VIP. And, you know, it was still difficult to find out where the hell you're supposed to enter the building. Like, let's just do it in New Jersey.
Yeah, that was really weird, because it was a media day at the Garden, which the big draw to it was the fact that it was at the Garden, but then they closed the media. You know, they didn't make a show of it. It wasn't a televised press conference. It wasn't even recorded. We didn't even have a table there where Dana White, you know, stood in the middle and we handled questions. We all just went to our own private thing and did scrums, and then got back on the bus, drove 6 miles, and went back to New Jersey. It was a weird thing.
Yeah, and I guess like you said, it was supposed to be a big deal. You know, you, a grown man, walking into Madison Square Garden. It's like, yeah, I've been in a lot of arenas. You know, it's all right, it's cool, but you know, why didn't you invite the fans? But forget Madison Square Garden, forget Dallas. I mean, all the big fights will happen in Las Vegas, or if the timing is right, you know, around May, they can probably do Dublin. You know, the weather will be better, but other than Dublin or Las Vegas, you're not seeing any big fights happen anywhere else.
No. No, I hear you on that. And so many people act like it's great business. Well, go sell 50,000 seats here. But it's to your point, man, the expenses go up. What's so great about selling these tickets? If you've got a great product, and they do, you just follow the only rule in business that matters, which is supply and demand. Up the price of your tickets. Just keep selling 13,000 seats. Just sell them for more money. And if people quit coming, lower your price. It's not rocket science. And you don't need Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. Somewhere we're lost in translation here. People keep saying how neat this is. Really? Is it? Have you been to Dallas? Is it really that neat?
Well, the thing that people don't realize about Dallas either is, you know, it's so spread out. So you got the stadium in Arlington. You got the arena, you know, where Mark Cuban's basketball team plays. That's like a 40 or 45-minute ride. I mean, it's so spread out. You know, down. You know, that's near downtown. The other thing I wanted to mention about the Garden, you know, it's really expensive to run. I mean, it gets so expensive to run. Vince McMahon pulled WWE out of there for over a year, about a decade ago, because the fees were too much. He's like, I'll go run Nassau Coliseum. I'll go run Izod Center in New Jersey or Prudential in Newark. I just think it's a feather in the Fertitta's cap. And I think, you know, they take things personally, which, you know, I mean, if I had these union thugs fucking with me, I take it seriously, too. So I think that's the real reason. This thing is not taking a dollar out of their pocket.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I get a little lost on the New York thing anyway. You know, the relevance to New York is that way it's legalized in all 50 states, and you're trying to make mainstream or MMA mainstream and all of that stuff. I believe it is mainstream. Maybe I'm a little too close to the tree to see the forest on that one, but I feel it's mainstream. It's covered by Fox. It's covered by ESPN. It's a huge sport. There's nobody that turns their nose up at it. Now, I don't understand what this obsession is with New York. Now, I look at it and go, man, we don't need New York. Now, New York could use us. New York could use that business. The UFC can show that they can bring in $10 million in a 72-hour period. If they bring an expo, they can bring in $40 million over the course of the week. That sure sounds like New York could use us, but why wouldn't you be loyal to the states that aren't causing you this big pain in the ass? Why wouldn't you be more loyal to New Jersey or Maryland or Maine or Connecticut or these other places that have supported you from day one? Why go to New York and bring in, you know, they were talking about bringing in Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir or whoever it was, but Lesnar at the top of the card. Like, why would you do that for New York? What's New York ever done for you?
Yeah, nothing except cost them a lot of legal bills, a lot of lobbying fees.
Yeah, and if I'm Nick Limbo out of New Jersey or Governor Christie for that matter, I'm making that phone call to the UFC. I'm saying, hey, you guys keep saying you're going to bring this mega show to New York. What do I need to do to get a big show? I just need to create you problems for years? I can do that real quick.
Well, what the UFC did wrong, Chael, and we both know this, we share a mutual friend named Douglas Crosby. And they have not consulted with him about how to properly implement the free fighting format in the state of New York. Make one call to Douglas Crosby. He will get things going. This guy's got contacts at Goldman Sachs, the CIA, anywhere you can think of, Douglas will get the deal done.
Maybe that is the missing piece. Maybe that's all they need to do. I don't know. I do scratch my head on it, though. I mean, I'll see media and fans talk about it all the time, but if you ask them the basic question, you know, when they talk about how incredible it would be for a UFC at the Garden, how huge it would do, when you listen to their whole rant and then you ask them a real simple question, would you go? The answer always comes back, no, I'm not flying out to New York. Oh, okay.
Well, could you afford tickets at the Garden?
Right. It's like, well, quit talking about it then. You know, I don't understand that either. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I love going to UFCs, but I prefer them when they're in Vegas. And the majority of my UFC, unlike you who's been to 100 UFCs, most people get to go to one in a lifetime, if any, and that's even big fans. If you're a big fan, it just means you sit down in your living room and you push the buy button. It doesn't really matter where the damn show is. But I feel like the UFC is starting to fall for it. The media keeps telling them, oh, you got to go play Cowboy Stadium. So they're starting to say, yeah, we do. Well, no, you don't. You don't ever have to go to Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, you only have to go there when it makes sense, when you have a fight that makes sense. And I don't, this Aldo McGregor is a big fight, but I don't see how it makes sense in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, in this era of these incredible stadiums being put up left and right, is Dallas what is so cool about Dallas Cowboys Stadium? It has a screen in the center of the field. If you look at that stadium and compare it to the stadium in Arizona, it looks almost the same, but it's got a screen in the center.
Right.
Who cares?
I don't know. I haven't got the foggiest idea. Who cares? It's not like the Dallas market is sitting here demanding it. They can go down. They can go watch it on TV too. Doesn't matter what building it's in.
Yeah, it's all leverage, man. You know, Bob Arum's done it. Oscar De La Hoya has done it. Floyd Mayweather's done it. You know, they flirt with Dallas a little bit, and then MGM says, "Okay, you got us. We'll up the site fee, or we'll lower our cut of the ticket revenue, and let's do a deal." Because for MGM, I mean, there's so many areas for them to take money from the consumer. It's not just the show. They're going to get you buying a pack of gum, eating lunch, drinking alcohol, dinner. I mean, there's so many ways for them to get a dollar from you.
Sure,
so,
the room, the hotel room.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it just makes no sense for MGM to ever lose an event that they want.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. They can skin the cat in so many different directions. And that's what's so cool about those Vegas hotels, man. I love it when I get assigned to those cards there because it's a city. Once you check into the MGM, you never have to check it. You never have to set foot outside again. You can do it all there. Right? You can eat there. You sleep there. The Wayans are there. The press conference is there. If you get bored, anything you could think of for entertainment, it's all right there. You know, you start going to these other cities, and you got to flag down the taxi gimmick.
Yeah, like that jabroni in St. Louis, right?
Oh, that was so much fun. That was so the NCAAs are so much fun, man. We got to go every year. That was the quickest 3 days. When that was up, I was like, God, I wish it was 4 days.
You know, what's funny is next year they're at the Garden. We've been talking about the Garden so much.
Are they? But, the NCAAs are going to Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, they're making a big deal about it. We're going to have to get in touch with Coach Bev Alacqua, see if he can pull some strings for us.
I just got an email from Coach Bev. Yes, it's time the shoe is on the other foot, isn't it?
Data. That's all you need.
That's all you have to have. I didn't know they were going to the Garden. I don't know how I missed that, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be cool.
Wow. And what about the Worlds in September? You going to go?
Yeah, you know, Mayweather's fighting, that's Saturday, so the Worlds are during the day, and Mayweather's fighting, I guess, Andre Berto at night. That should be pretty cool.
You know, what I love about that is, when Mayweather's last fight was over, it was with Pacquiao, he told the ring announcer, "I'm going to fight again in September, that'll be the last fight on my contract, see where we go from there." And the announcer challenged him, he's like, "Oh, Floyd, you want us to believe you're going to go back into a training camp in a couple of weeks, oh, come on." And Floyd's like, "I'm going to fight in September. Be right here in Vegas. Be my last fight on my contract." And the announcer challenged him again. Oh, Floyd. Yeah. And I'm thinking, yeah, what's the big deal? Everybody watching this has to go back to work on Monday. What are you making like that's a big deal? Isn't that what you do? You go to work on Monday? And the announcer just kept challenging. Man, those boxing announcers are so bad. It's amazing the guys that they keep around. It truly is. And they don't know a damn thing about boxing.
Was that Jim Gray?
I really don't remember who it was. I don't know. The only guy I know is Jim Lampley, and then my favorite boxing guy, Max Kellerman, who, oddly, they don't assign to those big fights. And Kellerman's easily the best guy in box. Best guy boxing's ever had is Max Kellerman.
Not drunken...
Larry.
Larry, yeah.
Larry is such a colossal idiot. I have no idea the allure to him or what contract he has. Do you remember when Larry was tried to challenge Floyd?
Yeah, he said, "If I was 50 years younger, I'd kick your ass."
Oh, Jiminy Christmas. Like, can you believe that?
He's an old newspaper guy. He got in, you know, I don't know, 45, 50 years ago, and just kind of, when HBO took on boxing, I guess he would just kind of migrate it in because he was a big print guy.
Yeah, yeah, and it's almost impossible for him to get out. It's like the mafia. It's easier to get in than it is to get out. They just keep bringing those guys back. In fact, I still resent that Floyd came out later and apologized to him. Oh, I'm sorry. Why would you be sorry, Floyd? You were completely right, Floyd. Larry was completely wrong. Larry's always wrong. He doesn't have the foggiest idea what he's talking about. I mean, if you played boxing trivia, he couldn't get it right. He doesn't know who the champs were, what day. He doesn't know anything. He just knows to go on TV, stare at the ground, drink his bourbon, go in the ring, and act like a fool afterwards. And he does it every single pay-per-view.
They got rid of him finally, though. I mean, he's been gone for a good while. And then that's how Kellerman got the full-time gig.
Oh, is Kellerman the full-time guy now?
Yeah, but, I mean, Kellerman didn't get the nod for Mayweather-Pacquiao because it was a joint Showtime and HBO promotion. If it was pure HBO, Kellerman would have been on there.
Well, that's who it should be. I didn't know that, but I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I think Mauro Ranallo, MMA guy, I think he had the international feed, you know, because Lampley he was a blow-by-blow guy. And Mauro got the international feed, which, hey, you know, I'm sure he would have liked Jim's, you know, gig, but sometimes guys pull rank and for good reason.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Mauro's very good, and he brings an excitement, you know. He's got a passion.
Well, the thing about Mauro is the guy is so well-versed in almost every form of combat sports that you could tell him, hey, you're going to be calling this tomorrow, and he will call it and not sound like he was just told yesterday, whether it be pro wrestling, kickboxing, MMA, boxing. I have a lot of respect for that guy's memory recall. The guy's absorbs all this information. He's a pretty impressive guy.
Yeah, well, that kind of sounds like you. Yeah, I mean, you've got all those things down too. Speaking of wrestling, are you coming out this weekend to Vegas? Are you coming to Jarrett's show, Global Force?
No, I'm actually going to Chicago. I have a co-host of the world famous and critically acclaimed Filthy FRB show. His name is Tom Lawler. Some people even call him Filthy Tom Lawler. So I'm going to his fight in Chicago. He's fighting a guy named John Volante, who is a training partner of Chris Weidman.
Of course. I know them both well. But I thought Volante was fighting at 205. He went down to 185, or Lawler went up?
Tom went up. So Tom had a knee injury a couple of years ago. And, you know, he was training to come back. And he was just like, man, this weight's not coming off like it used to. So I better fight at 205.
Right. And is Volante still training with Weidman? I know they corner each other. And they're like best friends, but I thought he move out to or switch gyms over to Trimble Kickboxing.
Man, maybe he did. I just saw Chris on Twitter say, you know, I'm out in Chicago with Volante. Yeah, he might have changed gyms. I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe Douglas got to him.
He may have. You know, last time I was in Chicago competing, I fought with Bisping. I screwed Weidman over. We were in the van the day before, and he asked me about the bath that all the fighters do, the Dolce bath with the Epsom salts and the rubbing alcohol and what you have to do. And he was asking me if this thing works. I'm like, dude, I'll tell you all about it, but you won't believe me that it works, because I didn't believe it. You know, we're wrestlers. We sit in saunas. We put on plastic. We go run for forever until the weight comes off. You wouldn't believe that you could sit in a bath and lose this weight. So I told him all of that, and I said, but trust me, it works. So I gave him exactly what he needed, and he was like typing it into his phone, making notes to himself or sending a text to somebody to go get him the stuff. And the next day rolls around. I do the bath for an hour, and I usually lose about a pound every 10 minutes. So in an hour, I usually lose about 6 pounds, maybe 6.5, but right in there. So I do, and our hotel, the hot water all went out. There was no hot water in this Chicago. We were at the Hard Rock in Chicago. All the hot water was gone. So I'm sitting in a cold bath. And I mean, that obviously matters when you're trying to sweat as hot water. So yeah. I get out of the bath. Now there's 45 minutes until the van leaves, the van to load us all up and take us to the weigh-in, which means there's about 2.5 hours till the actual weigh-in. And I spring out. I haven't lost nothing, zero. Lost. No, I thought I was going to lose 6 pounds, lost no weight. So I put on my shoes and my gear, and I run to the 24-hour fitness, which is right next door. Might have been an LA Fitness. And I go over there, and as I run over there, I strip down. As I'm going to get into the sauna, there's Chris Weidman naked on the floor of the 24-hour fitness and blocking the door. I have to step over his body to get in to the sauna. And I remember thinking, oh, you're here for the same reason I am. And I screwed you. You did the bath that I told you to do, that I recommended. Yeah. You also had no hot water because we're staying at the same hotel, and you also are about to be late for a van ride. And I remember I was stepping over his naked body, thinking, "Oh, I owe you an apology, don't I?"
Yeah, he had it worse because I think when Munoz pulled out of that event, it was supposed to be you versus Munoz. This thing got put in there. And the end result was Demi and Maya didn't have an opponent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Weidman took it on 3 weeks' notice. It was like you when you fought Miller, UFC 98, I guess it was.
Right.
You had to lose. I think he lost like 33 pounds in 2 weeks. Something ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. You're exactly right. They played musical chairs, and it was Maya left without an opponent, and they brought in Chris Weidman. Yes, and everybody assumed that Weidman would lose, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and I remember, just to give you an idea about these message boards sometimes, like people were like, oh, yeah, they were hyping him as a prospect, and yeah, he didn't look too good against Weidman. And, totally not taking into account the guy had lost 33 pounds, the 2 weeks prior. And then he comes out, and I think his next fight was that fight against Munoz, and that infamous blunder by Josh Rosenthal.
Yeah, and that was the other thing you had to take into account for Weidman. So many of us were picking Weidman to beat Anderson, and so many people were thinking, the fighters have just banded together to speak out against Anderson. But we all understood, man, you haven't even seen this guy fight. And so many critics were saying, well, he didn't look that great against Damian Maya. You're sitting back and going, well, Maya's a former number one contender, and Weidman was dead. He it wasn't even him you saw out there, and he still won the fight.
Yeah, that's what's amazing. And I can almost remember the exact conversation. I think it was in late 2011, and you were even like, hey, man, because you had Anderson the following summer, you were like, hey, man, if I beat Anderson, that's not the end of the road. I'm this guy Weidman. This guy Weidman's better than Anderson. And I'm going to have my hands full, if I beat Anderson.
Yeah. No, I did remember thinking that. The guys in the back are the guys' opinions that you want. Not the pundits that come out. Not the bettors at the betting lines. The guys in the back. And I've always thought, you never leave on top. And, you never do like what, say, Lennox did. George St. Pierre, I give a pass because not only did he fight everybody, but he gave everybody a rematch. He beat everybody that he beat their ass a second time. So if he wants to walk out, it was a little different. But I thought that in my own head, I don't want to do this forever. I'm going to go take this belt from Anderson, but I'm going to drop the belt to this Weidman kid. And I just remember thinking that this is the way it's going to go. And when I do drop it to Weidman, it's not going to sell because nobody knows who in the hell he is. But this is the guy. Now, Brian, before we go any further, let me tell you how to get your weekends back. All right? Let me tell you. You want to talk about transparency these days? You can get it in the car business if you can believe that, but you have to use the True Car app. Go download it now. It's free. Next time you're making a big purchase like a car, use the True Car app. Type in everything that you want, everything you want on the car that you possibly want. And it will tell you what other people have paid for that exact same car. Then you go to a True Car app dealer, and they will give you your locked-in savings. You don't have to spend a whole day out at the car lot. You can spend it with cold beer and UFC fights, Brian, which you should be happy about. All you got to do is go get the new, brand new, True Car app. I've been telling everybody about it. You can save about $3,000 off of the MSRP. So get ready for transparency in your next car buying experience. Get your weekends back. Save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Now, back to us. Let me ask you one last thing, Brian. Let me switch gears to politics. How fun is Donald Trump?
Oh, man. Every day it's something different. I heard today he gave Lindsey Grahamnesty, or whatever Rush calls him, Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina. So he pulls the gimmick off you that you did to Chad Mendez for being a dick. And he pulled that gimmick exactly right from you. And he was like, it was so funny. He was like, I don't know if this is his number, but 202, DC area code. I think this guy's pure entertainment. The whole thing is like a lead up to WrestleMania. And, there's little shreds of truth in everything the guy says.
Yeah, so many people dismiss him. I don't know how people are dismissing him. I don't know how they have any credibility as a pundit. They've been dismissing him from the beginning. He's not only winning in the polls, it's not even close. He's got 24%. Jeb Bush has 12%. Jeb Bush has been the heir apparent for, several quadrenniums. They've been trying to get him to run and just assumed that he would fill the void. Trump could slip. He has 24% versus 12%. There's a lot of gap right there.
Yeah, I still think Bush is going to get it. And the weird thing is Bush, he's the smart one. He's the one that the old man thought, would be a good president. But his big brother George just kind of got the turn before him. And a lot of people, they don't really know that Jeb and George are not close. They're 10 years apart and their personalities don't clash. George W., he gets along with his brother Marvin Bush. That's like his close confidant. When George W. was in the White House, he wasn't talking to Jeb. I know people say, oh, Jeb delivered the election for him and all this stuff, but they really don't get along from everything I've read.
Yeah, I've read that too. If you go listen to their interviews, they almost force themselves to not say what you just said. Jeb tries to distance himself from George. George tries to say nice things about Jeb, but you can kind of tell there's a little. Jeb thought he should have been president. He didn't think George should have. He thought he should have been the president, and I think the old man agreed.
But you know what, Joe? It's just like wrestling. It's just like in the fight business. George W. Bush was charismatic. He knew how to work the gimmick. Great fundraiser. He was a guy you'd watch talk. You'd watch him. Talk to some people. He was folksy. He was just like, oh, that's George W. That, if he was still drinking, I'd like to have one with him.
Sure.
Jeb, you get this Yale history professor type feeling.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a good guess. To say that it will be Jeb, I think's a good guess. But I don't know how you dismiss Trump. He's wildly successful in the private sector. We don't know what he stands for, how we would do it. He comes out and just makes a very broad statement. I will be a great jobs president. The end. He doesn't actually then tell you how, but he's so commanding. I just want him to get to the debates. I just want the debates to happen. That politics are so damn boring. I follow them, but I admit that they're painfully boring. But they're not right now. They're not with Trump in there.
Oh, no, man. They're awesome because you know this guy's going to step on a landmine, and he doesn't think it's a landmine. He thinks it's a good idea. I mean, people used to joke about Joe Biden. He kind of had this reputation as, he would say something stupid and people would say, that's just Joe being Joe. But he's nothing compared to Trump. I mean, Trump will cut promos on anybody.
And he won't apologize. That's the psychology of the voter. That's what so many people are missing is they try to dig into what he says. Whether it comes to immigration or now this thing with McCain, people are missing the fact that the voters appreciate that he won't apologize. That he will stand by it. And there is something that's very compelling about it. I mean, even myself, I didn't know that this was something I wanted in a guy. I never knew that this mattered to me until now it's happening. I'm going, man, this is refreshing. There is something refreshing about a guy owning his words and not trying to backtrack.
There's a method to his madness because he went after the two guys that Republicans don't even like. McCain's been one of the more unpopular Republicans. Graham is not liked by anybody. So I think he picked guys that he would appear sympathetic.
Right.
Picking on.
I still can't believe when he said, I like guys that weren't captured, all right? I still can't believe he said it.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's where I was like, oh, you know, he probably could have left that out. Because there's so many things, John McCain, you know, so many bad things, so many skeletons in his closet that you could bring up. But
that just is the one that you can't.
Yeah, because, I mean, the guy did, he was going to be allowed to leave Vietnam because his dad was an admiral.
Right.
And he said, I'm not leaving until everybody's leaving.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, this guy is somebody to be admired. And he was captured, and I'm sure there were better fighter pilots that didn't get captured who we don't even talk about today. But I just thought it was, you know, as they say in wrestling, cheap heat.
Sure.
You know? If you're a good worker, you don't need the cheap heat.
But there's some of these guys that run for president, man, and you're just sitting at home going, really? You know, what are you really doing? Because you don't think you can be. There's no way Lindsey Graham thinks he can be president. There's no possible way that Bobby Jindal thinks he can be president. I mean, guys have they have huge egos, but they also have a level of intelligence. They're not that dumb.
Well, it's just like Al Sharpton. You know, you raise a little bit of money, and then the Federal Elections Commission, well, they do some kind of matching funds. I don't know the details of it, but basically they get money to run for president. You know, that's how Al Sharpton ran for president and, you know, went around $1,200 suites when everybody else that year was, you know, purposely only spending like $110, $120, $150 because they knew all their hotel bills would come out because they were taking federal funds. Sharpton was just living it up. But I think there is something, if you run for president, I think it gets you a lot of publicity that you wouldn't have gotten. And maybe when you're done being a governor, done being a congressman, you know, maybe on the speaking tour or maybe in the private sector, somebody will want to hire you to be a CEO to leverage some of your political connections. Yeah, it's just a guess.
No, I think it's a good guess, but I mean, there's just no way these guys, there's no way they think it, you know. And then Jindal's is a little more transparent. Jindal can't do an interview where he doesn't talk about Louisiana. You know, he is so clearly not running for president. He's running for re-election in Louisiana, the great state of Louisiana, blah, 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 blah. And you're looking around going, well, first off, Louisiana's not a great state. Louisiana's got a lot of problems. If you're studying politically, that's like studying the city of Chicago. That is not what you want to fancy yourself around. And secondly, why do you keep saying Louisiana? Are you running for the presidency or not? And the answer is no, he's not. He's running for re-election in Louisiana. But it's a little weird that these guys can get airtime and the pundits still dismiss Trump. At the end of the day, this is a popularity contest, and Trump's cool. Like it or not, the guy's cool. Same thing Obama's got going for him. I'm a Republican, but I'll admit it. Obama's cool. He's got cool friends. He talks cool. He walks cool. He plays basketball. The guy's cool.
Yeah, maybe one of the first presidents that ever got that label, you know, maybe other than JFK.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's not a word you would use for a politician. Cool. You would not use that. Obama might be the only one I can use it for that's been elected. But, yeah, I mean, Trump's burying these guys. He went into Boston. And he said something about what was the statement? It was something about the governor, and then he said, and your mayor's an idiot.
He covered all the bases and then just left. Just, you know, he burned the city down to the ground and said, I'm out of here. You know, he cut a promo on the governor, the mayor. I mean, this guy, I wonder if there's anybody coaching him. Or maybe he just, this is just him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And I wonder how long it can last, too. You know, that is the thing. Not very many people start in the lead and finish there. Hillary will. Hillary's in the lead on her side, and she'll stay there.
Let's just hope, you know, Trump stays in it for the long haul, because just for the entertainment. I lived through a few of these. The first one that I really followed was Bush 41 versus Dukakis. And I was really never... There's never been anybody like this who I'm just like, am I watching CNN or am I watching Monday Night Raw?
Right.
And I love it. I'm just like, you know, the old saying, man, you know, these Republicans are going to drive you off the cliff 150 miles an hour. The Democrats are going to drive you off the cliff 200 miles an hour. Either way, you're fucked. So don't worry about it. Just enjoy it. Don't worry about the issues, the small things. Just who cuts a better promo? And I don't think any of them can touch Donald Trump.
Right. You're going to be inundated with politics every day, particularly, you know, until November of next year. So which one do you want to see more? And I'm totally with you, man. It's not even close. It's Trump. Did you see this O'Malley guy come out and apologize because he said that white lives matter?
Is he the governor from Maryland?
Maybe. Yeah, it's Martin O'Malley. I don't know where he's from. He's a knucklehead.
Yeah, well, I don't really see why. Why is that within itself a bad statement? You know, if these liberals really wanted to tell the truth, they would say all lives matter.
Right. Well, okay. Well, let me tell you what O'Malley said.
Except the unborn. They don't give a fuck about them.
Right. Yeah. So here's what O'Malley said. This is the exact quote. He said, "Black lives matter, white lives matter, all lives matter." Now, when you look at that, you go, well, what a great thing to say. That's really all lives matter. That's right. Black lives, white lives. You know, you could go further with it. You could talk about young lives and old lives, and you know, you could, for me, you could extend it to pets, cats and dogs. For that, I mean, what a great thing to say. Yeah, all lives matter. What a great thing. People pushed back, and the coward apologized. He came after people pushed back. He came out and apologized, and that's what these politicians are missing. That's what Trump doesn't do. Trump doesn't make a statement, wait to see where the polls fall, and then change his statement. He makes a statement and he stands by it. And the psychology of the voter, even myself, I didn't know this about myself. I didn't know that I liked that in a guy because it's never happened. I've never had the option to like it in a politician before. But it's very refreshing when they ask Trump to apologize and he says, you know, I thought I was pretty clear the first time.
Yeah. You mentioned him being briefed on some focus group.
Right.
What he would say, you're like, fuck your focus group.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that you could say something and then see which way the wind blows and then try to run it back. You know, even Rand Paul, I'm a big Rand Paul supporter, but, you know, he's done that a couple of times. He got in the argument with the female reporter, and then he came back and tried to apologize for it. It's like, hey, man, her gender does not matter, and she was wrong, Rand. You were right to be annoyed with her. You were completely in the right. But the fact that you're now saying you're sorry for it, man, that's a blow to me.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all identity politics. You have to appeal to this demographic. You know, you have to have the women vote. I mean, I saw something crazy that Mitt Romney only got 17% of the non-white vote, ended up getting 60% of the white vote. So they're obsessed with their graphs and identity politics because that's what it is. There's a changing demographic that if you alienate one group of people, you might not become president.
Right. Yeah, well, or you go to the Stone Cold approach, which is, remember when wrestling had the good guys and the bad guys, the heels and the faces, and then Stone Cold comes out and he hated them all. It didn't matter if you're a good guy or a bad guy, Stone Cold stood alone, he hated, he was against everybody. That's where Trump's going. Trump's turned on the Republicans. He said, "I can't stand the Republicans. I am a Republican. I want their nomination." I've never been more let down by the party. And the rest of the party's going, "Yeah, me too. Screw these politicians. They're all dirty, and they all lie, and they all say one thing and blow in the wind." I like the psychology of it way more than I like the actual policies. And the psychology of the voter right now, and we're learning this through the polls. The psychology of the voter is leaning towards Trump. But if you try to figure out why, there's no answer. He hasn't laid out a plan for anything yet. So the only thing you can turn to is because he says what he means and he stands on it. The end. That's my guess. Is that your guess? Am I right about, is that a fair analysis? Is that why these polls are supporting him 24% to Jeb Bush's 12?
You know, I don't know, Joe. I prefer to watch shoots, you know, like Monday Night Raw, you know, the work shit on CNN and Fox News. I don't try to get too much into it. I don't immerse myself in that type of things. I have more important things to do, like watch Clash of the Champions from 1991 or drink my Coors Light. I have a lot of things, but I got a question for you.
All right.
Are you going to return to public office, or run for public office, I should say? Because even though, you know, some people might think it's not right for you to to try to get back. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if I have an interest in it. I would win the election in a landslide in my area. I could run for anything. I could run for mayor tomorrow, and I would be put in. There's a guy that is the U.S. congressman in our district, and so many of the listeners could raise their hand and go, yeah, mine too. But, I mean, he's completely useless. He's never done anything. He's never passed one bill. He's never done anything but go out there and collect a paycheck, and then he campaigns full-time, and Oregon just keeps sending it back. And that's the kind of the way the politics work. Unless you really screw something up, if you're the incumbent, you're going to get reelected. You know, you almost have to go out to Washington and try. If you try, you can upset people, right? And this guy that we've got doesn't try. And I do interviews like this about him all the time. His name's Kurt Schrader, Congressman Schrader. And I do interviews like this, and I mean, you wouldn't believe how much this guy kisses my ass to try to keep me out of the election. And I think he'll be successful. I've got other interests. I don't think I would run against, but I could run against him tomorrow and beat him. I could beat any of these guys in this area. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I've got the best views. That just means that people like me.
The shame in it all is there's so many smart, talented people who want to get into politics, that want to serve the public, but they won't do it because of the nature of this political coverage. It's beyond cutthroat. I mean, there's just every single detail of everything you've done in your life. It's a little much, and I think it scares away our best and brightest.
Oh, it most definitely does. It most definitely does. You know, Jesse Ventura went through this, and Jesse Ventura on day one of his campaign essentially came out and just said everything he'd done, all the way down to getting hookers. He came out and said it about himself. I've done every drug in the world. I've gotten prostitutes. He just went through the gamut, and then he was done. You know, he sailed right in to the governorship in Minnesota. And I mean, that guy's a knucklehead. But what are you going to do? He ran it the right way. He came out. He said it all first. He beat him to the point. That's the one thing that Trump's got going for him. So many people thought that he wouldn't run because of all the baggage he's got. Well, the baggage is all out there. Everything's out there. So many people keep saying, well, when the bankruptcies come out, we know about the bankruptcies. This was public. Well, when his divorce record comes out, we know about the divorces. He's talked about it. He's bragged about his prenups before and said how well his lawyer, Michael Cohen, wrote him up. Said, I've got the best prenups out there. I mean, Trump, it's all out there. What else are they going to dig up on the guy?
Yeah, I don't think there is anything. This guy's been in the public limelight for what, 35 years now?
Yeah.
I mean, I think pretty much everything. But, you know, I admire him because he's coming out saying all this stuff. And, you know, he's got a little kid. He's got a kid that's probably about four. And he's got, you know, kids in their 30s, too. And you got to worry about their security because some of the things that he's saying is drawing the ire, like even of that jobber from Mexico who escaped prison, El Chapo,
right.
Or El Chapo, whatever the guy's name is. These are the types of people that want to harm him. And man, I mean, he's ballsy. I don't know if I was his age with his type of wealth and the quality of life that he enjoys, if this was a fight that I wanted to pick.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by it too. He definitely does not need the presidency, and you're seeing all this for, you know, everything that he does, every building that goes up, he's got bureaucracy around it. You know, even if it's just a simple city council, he's got to go deal with these guys, and then he's got to get their opinion on it. Which, if you're a successful businessman, there's nothing more frustrating than having to go into a city council meeting and get the approval of these jobbers that decided to run. You know, and then you on a state level, or rather a city level, a state level, a federal level. So he's been frustrated and had to deal with this for years, and it's almost as though this is finally his chance to just come back and bury all these guys, like what he did in Boston, right? He's going to try to build in Boston. They're going to make it hard on him. He walked right into Boston and said, "Your mayor's an idiot." I mean, how long has he wanted to say that?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
All right, I'm looking at the time. I suppose we should call it a day here. You got anything else for us?
No, man. No, that's it. But, you know, this will be higher, more listeners than the last one. I just keep outdoing myself. You know, world famous, very much admired by many people, and the reputation just grows and grows and grows.
I will tell you, it is surprising, the FRB factor. I will have to. I'm your friend. I put you over anyway, but I have been a little surprised at how big of numbers you can draw in.
Right. Unless you were fucking working me, because those numbers were like exact. And I know. I think Rockhold was on the same show, but Rockhold was on for 5 minutes because
yes.
he's on a golf course or something. You know, I did have the benefit that I was on when all the John Jones stuff went down. I mean, that did kind of, you know, perk up all the listeners. But I was really surprised by that.
You're the one that broke that story. You're the one that broke the Jones story. All right, man. Well, I will let you know how the numbers do on this one. The only number I can assure you that we will remain is number one. But how big that gap is, I'll have to let you know next Tuesday.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, see you, brother.
Later, man.
All right, that's it. Donald Cerrone, FRB, pending lawsuit from Jose Aldo. I guess that's it. What else do I have? I'm going through my notes here. That's it. I've had it with you all. Until next Wednesday, that is. Then I will be ready to talk to you all again. And I'm sure we'll have some more great scoop. I will update you on anything I know. Get over to badguyinc.com. Check out all your merchandise, anything Chael Sonnen related, badguyinc.com. Until next Wednesday, remember who you are, what you stand for, and try not to let it get you down. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.